For It Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from ITFA 2014, and we're speaking with Helen Simon, director of No Lullaby, which was shown here at the festival. So thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So No Lullaby is quite an intense and intimate film which deals with quite a delicate subject. Perhaps you might be able to introduce it to us in your own words. Would you like to tell us, our listeners, what your film is about?
It's about, well, sexual abuse in family structures. And we actually tell only one story of one family, German family, quite well situated family in a small town in Germany, where the father of the woman abused her violently as a child. She grows up, marries, has her own daughter, and sends this daughter back to her father, which would be the grandfather then of that daughter of hers. And she also is violently abused by him. The mother doesn't intervene. This goes on for years. And late in their life, the daughter is grown up by the time, about 20, 22 years old, decides to go to court to break the chain of violence in the family system. And they do that. They go to court. And I will not tell you what the outcome is, but it is dramatic.
Well, it's quite a powerful portrayal. I mean, the story in itself is just, you know, an impressive in so many levels. But I wondered, like, let's take it from the top. How did you actually come across them in the first place?
Well, research, a lot of research. I did 10 months of research to find the perfect protagonist for this film, because if you're planning on doing something that hard and that, you know, that deep, you need to find someone that will be able to go through with you for over, I mean, how long did we shoot with Tina, which is the protagonist, the mother? I think 2 years. So she had to pull through with us for 2 years. And she was constantly being re-traumatized by me, by the camera, by the interviews that we were doing with her. And she was just miraculous. I mean, she went through with it, and you know, she was always there, and she did her thing, and that's what I was looking for from the beginning. I knew that it would be a very hard film, and it would be especially hard for the protagonist, because I needed someone who would be honest with me and who would, you know, give us as an audience insight into this terrible, terrible life situation that she was in. And it took me a while to find someone who was strong enough to do that. And I was very lucky. I found out about her story through an artist in Bremen, in Germany, who had known her daughter and had told me about the situation, that that was a mother and a daughter who were both abused by the same guy. And I phoned her up, and I got together with her. And on that first day, we both decided, this is it. We're going to do a film together. Yeah.
But did you ever feel like having a camera there, filming her, saying, you know, telling her story, might even have finally given her a medium to let out these feelings that she must have kept bottled up inside her for such a long time?
Unfortunately, I don't think that filmmaking can have any sort of, you know, therapeutic, you know, it's not therapeutic, neither for me nor for the protagonist. It's just something that she does because she believes that she needs to do it in order for things to change. You know, she had a really hard, a really strong political belief. So that was the reason why she did it. And now, after the film's come out, and she's been to many film viewings, you know, and she's talked with the audience, finally now I do believe that she feels that it was really good to make the film. And that it's, you know, it's working. People are starting to listen. People are, you know, discussing the topic. And yeah, so I think after the film's come out, I think she sort of has this feeling of maybe it helping also her, but not during the filming. It was just too crazy.
Yeah, so you'd be hoping that this film does start debates and get people talking.
Oh, definitely, definitely. We're coming into cinema. I mean, we're having a cinema, you know,
a screening.
No, it's just a tour. Obviously, there's a need for it, and obviously, society is ready to talk about it, you know, and face it and discuss it. So, yeah, we'll be touring around with the film and, you know, trying to get people talking about the topic.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, speaking of which, here's my question to you. How do you feel cinema, and not just documentary maybe, has dealt with these issues in the past?
Well, there are fantastic films out there who've dealt with the topic. I just, you know, I'm trying to remember. It's called, in German, it's called Das Fest von Winterberg. That is a fantastic film.
Festen.
That really, Festen.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you get out of that film and you feel like, oh my God. I mean, you're just, it's a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
And even though it doesn't portray directly the abuse, it's just the after effect of the abuse, but that's in itself so traumatizing, and the way that he depicts it is just wonderful. So there are films out there that really, really, you know, that get there, and usually those are fictionist films, because when you're an author or a director and you have the freedom to write this yourself, I think it's easier to get to those kind of topics. When you're a documentary filmmaker, you always have like also the moral side of filmmaking. You know, I mean, I have a protagonist, and this protagonist is a real life human being who've experienced this.
Yeah.
And I'm re-traumatizing her for the sake of making this film. And, you know, you always have to find out how far can I go, you know?
Of course. You also have certain responsibilities too, right?
Oh, definitely. And I mean, while making this film took 4 years in the making, just because of the fact that the perpetrator, who is alive and well and is doing his thing, you know, we needed to get from him the allowance to make the film. He had to allow us to make this film, otherwise it would not have been able to publicly be shown.
Oh, right. So you had to get an allowance from this man.
Yes, I did. And I fought for it for half a year. And that's why the film took so long in the making.
What do you think got him to persuaded him into allowing you?
I have no idea. I spent a lot of time with him, like 3 or 4 times a week, talking on the phone for hours, trying to understand him. You know, I tried to be open and, you know, trying really to take him as a normal human being and not just say, oh my God, he's a pedophile or a perpetrator and what he, all that stuff that he's done, but try to find a way to really communicate with him, which was really hard because he is extremely ill and he still believes he never did anything wrong. I think actually he was a very lonely old man, and just, you know, talking to me for half a year and me being there for him all that time, I think made him soft towards me.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so let's look at the technical, let's say, side of the film. And
yeah.
I see, I mean, the film could be kind of described into as being split into two parts, juxtaposed mm-hmm. one another. And when we see the interviews with the mother and a close friend of hers, and in the other one, we hear her own words or accounts from the trial narrated. And I was just wondering whether this was a structure that you always had in mind.
No. I wanted to make a normal documentary.
Right.
You know, just because it's totally reduced, the film. You know, it's a strange little film, that's what I always say, because it's a total reduction of a normal documentary. You have very little you know, day to day, you know, life, or, you know, it's just the interviews, and then it's the protocols, and it's the interviews and the protocols. What it does, though, is that it gives you an intensity that this topic needs, which I didn't know at the beginning. I thought, you know, I could just, you know, catch beautiful scenes of her life, and then, you know, but that didn't work out. And we spent, I think, 5 months editing the film. And at the beginning, we went a totally different way with the film, and we found out, though, that we would never be able to tell of that gruesome pain that they went through, and of the family structure, and what it means to be caught in such a family structure, if we didn't reduce it, you know, just reduce, and at the end, all we had left were just the interviews and the protocols.
Yeah, and even the parts of the protocol where the photography is kind of more minimal.
Yes.
It just gives so much more important weight behind the actual words that are being narrated.
Exactly, but it's hard to just, you know, reduce and minimalize, because actually normally you're like wanting to tell a story and find big images for it, and then you're in the editing and you're like, no, we have to reduce and reduce. But it's how the story goes, you know, it's...
That's it, and I think that's how it allows a viewer to actually take in all this information mm-hmm. and think about it, probably, and just process it.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it was a very intense experience watching the film, and I do thank you very much for taking the time off and talking with us about it.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.